Scripture reading for today will be 2 Samuel chapter 6, 1 through 11. 2 Samuel chapter 6, 1 through 11. David again brought together out of Israel chosen men, 30,000 in all. He and all his men set out from Bala of Judah to bring up from the Ark of God, which is called by the name of the Lord Almighty, who is enthroned between the cherubim that are on the Ark. They set the Ark of God on a new cart and brought it from the house of Abinadab, which was on the hill. Uzzah and Ahio, sons of Abinadab, were guiding the new cart with the Ark of God on it, and Ahio was walking in front of it. David and the whole house of Israel were celebrating with all their might before the Lord with songs and with harps, terebinths, citrons, and cymbals. When they came to the threshing floor of Nacon, Uzzah reached out and took a hold of the Ark of God because the oxen stumbled. The Lord's anger burned against Uzzah because of his irrelevant act. Therefore, God struck him down, and he died beside the Ark of God. Then David was angry because the Lord's wrath had broken out against Uzzah. And to this day, that place is called Perez Uzzah. David was afraid of the Lord that day and said, "How can the Ark of the Lord ever come to me?" He was not willing to take the Ark of the Lord with him in the city of David. Instead, he took it aside to the house of Obed-Edom the Gittite. The Ark of the Lord remained in the house of Obed-Edom the Gittite for 3 months, and the Lord blessed him and his entire household.
Thank you, brother, for that reading from the Old Testament in 2 Samuel, a passage that might be familiar to some of you since we looked at verse 11 for our text of our sermon last Sunday evening. Before I begin the lesson this morning, I'd like to bait you with some previews. What I intend to do on the PM lessons from this point forward is begin a study of the Gospel of John. If you have not been attending our 5 p.m. worship assembly in the evening, we'd like to give you a double measure of encouragement to do that starting this evening. We'll go through the Gospel of John together in our lessons on Sunday evening, and you will find something there, I'll just guarantee you. You will find something there that will help you as a Christian, and it doesn't matter how many years or how many weeks that you've been a Christian, you'll find that to be a profitable study for you. And by the time we finish with the Gospel of John, you will realize that your faith has been made very much stronger. So I'm giving you some previews of what is to come there. There's a rather unusual and dramatic account from the life of King David included in 2 Samuel chapter 6. Here we learn a lesson that primarily centers around a man by the name of Uzzah. And although the incident didn't do Uzzah much good, it's still possible for us to learn something about his behavior in this passage. As you noticed by looking in your Bible, as Brother Taylor was reading to us, he was struck down by God as a result of his laying his hand on the ark. He touched the Ark of the Covenant. He made a tragic mistake, and it had tragic consequences. You know, all of us make mistakes, and when we do, we oftentimes learn from them and move forward with a greater strength of determination not to succumb to those mistakes any longer. But what Uzzah did, if we consider it a mistake, let us consider that it's much more than just a mistake. Because the divine record, the Word of God says in verse 7, if you'll note, God struck him down there for his irreverence. You may recall from your studies in the Bible that the Ark of the Covenant was basically a box. A box made out of wood, it was gold plated, is approximately 4 feet long, 2 feet tall, and 2 feet wide. If we assume that the measurement used to make it during its original design, called a cubit in God's Word, is 18 inches. This was the main feature of the tabernacle of God. It was the place where God met his people with mercy to be extended to them. It was a place where the high priest could go in and see this ark one day a year under the law of Moses. It was designed with gold-plated rings on each side of it to be carried with poles made out of wood that were also gold-plated. And the law was very specific that the men from one particular tribe, the tribe of Levi, were the ones and the only ones to carry the ark supported by the poles. They were not to touch it. Now we know that there was a time during the judges when Israel drifted away from God. They lost their faithfulness to God. They drifted. They didn't give attention properly to the strength of dedication they should have had to God, so they drifted away from him. And this precious piece, representing all that Israel was before God, was captured by their enemies, the Philistines. Through an interesting series of events, the Philistines quickly realized that this was something they didn't want to hang on to very long. And they wanted nothing to do with the ark after some bad things happened to them. So they sent it back. And the Bible tells us that the ark stayed near the border of Israel for a period of more than 40 years. Until we get to 2 Samuel 6, where King David tries to move the ark to Jerusalem. They put the ark on a new cart, just exactly as the Philistines had done when returning it. But as they travel, the cart hits a pothole or something like that. The oxen stumble. Uzzah reaches up to keep the ark from falling, and God strikes him dead on the spot. As a result of this, verse 8 tells us that David becomes angry, just as God was angry in verse 7 of this passage. Then David becomes afraid in verse 9 and quickly brings the ark to a nearby home of a man by the name of Obed-Edom as he tries to figure out what in the world went wrong. There are valuable lessons that you and I can learn from this event, I think. One of those lessons is this. God must always be honored with the utmost reverence and respect. Uzzah died because of his irreverence. It's important that we see the reason why God struck him dead in verse 7. We need to know that because there's a valuable lesson for us to learn. His irreverence was made outwardly visible by his failure to obey the Lord's commandments. Uzzah forgot that worshiping God is a very serious business. God struck him for his irreverence. That tells me that God must be respected, and we must revere God's name and everything about God, even as we live our lives many, many years later. As a matter of fact, the Hebrew writer in Hebrews chapter 12 tells us this, beginning in verse 28, "Since we receive a kingdom which cannot be shaken, let us show gratitude by which we may offer God an acceptable service," note, "with reverence and awe, for our God is a consuming fire." This, of course, is not a very popular position to take in our modern society, in our modern setting of our religious day. Many people are not very comfortable with a God who puts people to death for irreverence. In fact, many will twist the scriptures to avoid the impact of God's great holiness and his demand to be respected and shown reverence in passages like this. So when God says that the ark is to be moved by using the rings on the ark with the poles inserted through and lifted, and that ark is to be moved only by the Levites, those commands have to be obeyed. And a failure to obey those commands is showing God disrespect And it is not reverencing God. Some people will try to convince us that God is not concerned with such little details as that. And such little details as all the things that we do in the worship assembly. Those are trivial matters and God is not concerned. You had an occasion to speak with Uzza today about trivial matters in the mind of God. What do you think Uzza would say to you about things related to service and worship to God? Do you think he would say, they're trivial things that you don't have to worry about? The case of Uzza in the eternal record of God teaches us that to honor and respect God and to show him reverence is very, very, very important. It is vital. Now we're ready to embrace the second point, and that is this. There are no excuses that man can offer that would ever override the importance of knowing and obeying what God says. But people today will try to offer excuses for not knowing the things of God and not obeying the things of God, just like in David's time. Uzza may have been able to say something in our modern setting like, well, I was sincere about what I did. You and I wouldn't question his sincerity, would we? Certainly it would be tragic if the ark fell off a cart and busted all to pieces. You know, that wouldn't be a good thing. Certainly he was sincere about what he did. Certainly he had good intentions preventing damage to the ark. Maybe he would have said something like, I was zealous. In 1 Chronicles 13 and verse 8 in the parallel passage, we learn that David and all Israel were celebrating before God with all of their might. Maybe Uzza would have said, this was a great celebration and I got caught up in the festivities and praising God and I just wasn't thinking when I reached up there and touch something that God said do not touch. Good intentions do not override the necessity of obeying what God has said. That is a lesson that you will find consistently, whether you're reading in the Old Testament or the New Testament. Sincerity will not allow a person to escape the responsibility that God has laid upon every man to obey his word. You and I might reason according to men and think that it is. And we may cut ourselves a little slack and try to justify ourselves if we're not as reverential as we should be before God or we fail to respect him as we should. God's will is constant, though. And when it comes to excuses, everybody involved in this incident seems to be sincere. But sincerity is not the key. God didn't strike Uzza because he didn't show enough sincerity. God struck him dead because of his irreverence. We also have insight on another excuse people will use even today. Everybody else is doing it. Everyone wants to justify what they're doing because everybody else is doing it, or it's the popular thing of the day or the hour or the year. Please allow me to show you in God's book that right and wrong is not determined by the number of people doing it. In 1 Chronicles 13, beginning at the beginning of that chapter, in chapter 1, when David consulted with the captains of the thousands and the hundreds, and even with every leader, David said to all the assembly of Israel, how many people was that? David the king said to all the people of Israel, if it seems good to you, and if it is from the Lord our God, let us send everywhere to our kinsmen who remain in all the land of Israel, also to the priests and the Levites who are with them in their cities with pasture lands, that they may meet with us, and let us bring back the ark of our God to us, for we did not seek it in the days of Saul. The Philistines had control of it. Notice in verse 4, then all the assembly, how many people was that? All the assembly said that they would do so, for the thing was right in the eyes of all the people. So here we have something that's right in the eyes of the people. We're going to fetch the ark. Unanimous decision. He brought everybody in to help make the decision. Did you notice that? He called a meeting of everybody. Yet what they were doing was dead wrong when it came to the mechanics of how do we transport it from where it is to the place that I've made for it in the city of Jerusalem. Right and wrong is not determined by the number of people doing it. If it was, everyone in agreement, let's go fetch it and bring it. If right and wrong is determined by everybody's agreement, then certainly it would have been right just to go down there and get it and bring it. Pay no attention to those details. King David checked with everybody on this. Everybody? Who did he leave out? He left out the most important one, didn't he? He didn't check with God to see exactly how to go about doing this. Now, did you notice that they were moving the ark on a new cart? Where did they get that idea? You Bible students of the Old Testament, where did they get the idea to move it on a new cart? Who came up with the idea originally, move it on a new cart? It wasn't the people of God, was it? It was the enemies of God, the Philistines. Do you remember how the Philistines returned the ark to Israel? They put it on a new cart. So now, David, the Lord's anointed, is not consulting the Lord, but he's following the example of the enemies of God in moving a precious thing to God, and should have been precious to his people. He's copying their example from a number of years earlier. An example of people who do not know the Lord. Now, was David thinking, well, it worked for them, it ought to work for us? Do you think that might be something similar to what he was thinking? But the difference is, these are the covenant people of God, who look to the law and follow the law of God and live by it. And that's how they enjoy fellowship with God and a relationship with God. The Israelites had instructions from God, very specific and detailed instructions about everything that they were to do that had anything to do with God Almighty. They had specific instructions. And as for you and I, we can either do what Uzzah did, or we can follow what God told us to do in His Word. We can quick draw and do something without thinking about it carefully enough. We can call everybody together and come to an agreement and still quick draw and not consult God on what we need to do and how we need to do it. We can fall into that bad situation as well. Now, final analysis is we're doing something that God told us not to do. We can read it ourselves and know what to do, not following the crowd and not following whatever a person might tell us and not following what our parents have done and not following what our grandparents have done. You and I can secure a copy of God's book, look in it, read it, study it, think about what it says, and do exactly what it says today. We don't even have to think for ourselves and come up with our own imagination what we think might be good and acceptable to God. We can reverence God and respect God by following exactly His instructions laid down in His inspired will even today. Isn't that a great blessing that we have from God to be able to do that? Another valuable lesson that we can learn from this passage is there's a great value in God's discipline. Now, obviously, all of this was a little more painful for Uzzah than it was for everybody else. But it did affect the nation as a whole because the king became angry. And then he became afraid. You know, usually after anger simmers down a little bit and we have a chance to mull over something and think about it a little longer, then some more realistic and grave emotions overtake us. Usually that's the case. That was the case with David. First he became angry, and then he was afraid. He thought about who he was dealing with here. The whole incident made such an impression on the nation that they renamed the spot where this happened to Perez Uzzah, or the breach of Uzzah, or the break of Uzzah. Uzzah made a breach. He didn't respect and reverence God. And in a sense, on this spot, the entire nation had a breach. They were all at fault. They all agreed, let's go get it. Yeah, we'll put it on the new cart. King said it's okay, it's all right. As a result of God's discipline, the people finally understood this point. God is to be respected. God is to be reverenced. That God expects more than good intentions. That God doesn't judge on the basis of the number of people doing it. Or the number of people saying, oh yeah, that's okay. The discipline, therefore, had some positive results that went far beyond the one being disciplined. You and I can read about it today. It's serious. Who wouldn't pay attention to an account in God's book where God struck someone dead on the spot? That's a big exclamation point in anybody's way of reading anything, isn't it? Who wouldn't pay attention to that? God has an exclamation point here. And he doesn't leave us to wonder why it happened. Uzzah died because of his irreverence. This is certainly consistent with what we read about discipline in the New Testament. In 1 Timothy 5 and verse 20, those who continue in sin rebuke in the presence of all, so that the rest will be fearful of sinning. Do you think a new message went out after Uzzah was struck dead and David realized what the situation was about and realized that he was struck dead because he showed irreverence toward God? Do you think a new message from the king went out? Recheck your thinking here and recheck your actions. Make sure that everything you think and everything you do shows respect and reverence to God. You think that might have been the message? Even in the New Testament, 1 Timothy 5 and verse 20, why would you rebuke someone in the presence of all? Why would you do that? So that the rest will be fearful of sinning. Why would God strike Uzzah dead right there with these 30,000 soldiers and everybody else in this grand parade? Why would he do that? So that everybody else would be fearful of sinning. And what was the sin? Showing God irreverence. When one person is rebuked, we want them to be saved through repentance. But even if they continue in sin, there's value in saying, here is something that we cannot tolerate as God's people. And we must not tolerate as a congregation belonging to Jesus Christ. Even the innocent can learn from the discipline of others. What is to be learned? Be fearful of sinning against God. Recall in the early church that Ananias and Sapphira were struck dead. We don't have to go all the way back to the Old Testament to find an incident where God struck people dead on the spot. We don't have to go that far back. Even in the Christian age, The age of the New Testament, under the new covenant of Jesus Christ, the time period in which we live, also referred to as the last days, God struck two people dead on the spot. Notice in Acts 5 and verse 11, great fear came over the whole church and over all who heard of these things. Why were they afraid? Notice in verse 14, and all the more believers in the Lord, multitudes of men and women were constantly added to their number. These people were afraid because God struck someone dead, but notice the result. More people believed in Christ and were added to the number of the saved. That would seem a strange thing, wouldn't it? Or would it? That is what happened here in 2 Samuel 6. The offender is dead. That doesn't do him much good as far as learning a lesson. But the rest of the nation learned some valuable lessons on this occasion. And even you and I, thousands of years later, can learn valuable lessons that will help us in our relationship with God. Notice, please, what happens in verse 9. David is angry in verse 8. But his anger very quickly turns to fear. So David was afraid of the Lord that day, and he said, how can the ark of the Lord come to me? Maybe he should have asked that question earlier. Maybe he should have approached God with that question earlier. Maybe David was mad that his little parade was ruined. You know, you don't assemble 30,000 soldiers and have this grand parade and all this great celebration without some forethought and some effort put in it, do you? Even small parades have a great deal of planning ahead of time, don't they? Local parades that happen in downtown of our own community takes planning and advanced planning and a lot of energy and exercise put forth in doing that. Maybe David was mad that his parade was ruined. And maybe then he thought, I'm the one who organized this thing. I might be next. And David became afraid. And he was unwilling at that point to move the ark any further. He moved it into a nearby home, and then he went home to do some research. Exactly what happened here. How is it that I can get the ark of the Lord to come to me without getting killed by God? And as we continue to read, we learn the same lesson that David learned. Because of Uzzah's discipline, King David learned that he needed to be careful to do God's things in God's way. That's a valuable lesson that David learned. And the problem was not with God. The problem was with David. We have a more complete record of what happens next over in the parallel passage in 1 Chronicles 15. They get ready to move the ark several months later, and David has obviously taken some time to do some research to find out exactly the right way to do it. And in 1 Chronicles 15 and verse 13, King David pulls the Levites into a special meeting. And he says, because you did not carry it at first, the Lord our God has made an outburst on us. For we did not seek him according to the ordinance. You see that very important passage that further expounds on the verse 7 of the previous passage, where we are told God struck Uzzah because of his irreverence. You wonder what that irreverence might mean? Look at 1 Chronicles 15 and verse 13 and you'll see exactly what it means. It's explained. David says, you did not carry it at first. He said that to the Levites. You did not carry it at first. And because of that, the Lord made an outburst on us. Reason being, we did not seek him according to the ordinance. We didn't seek him according to his will. David learned something. Notice 1 Chronicles 15 and verse 15, the sons of the Levites carried the ark of God on their shoulders with the poles thereon, as Moses had commanded according to the word of the Lord. You see, that's the right way to do it, isn't it? Now, at that point, they offer a sacrifice after the ark is moved a grand total of 6 paces. They're taking it very slow on this journey. You think there was a little apprehension there, maybe? Then King David brought the ark to Jerusalem into the place he had made for it with great celebration and joy. All the people praised the Lord. The entire nation was blessed because of the Lord's discipline. The Lord gave them the power to do so. The Lord blessed them for doing it. And they learned some valuable lessons from Uzzah's mistake, just as you and I have learned valuable lessons from the record of God for our lives today. How do we approach God? How do we think about God? How do we worship God when we assemble together on the first day of the week? Those are great questions. It all has to begin with the instructions God has given us in His Word, doesn't it? We've obviously seen today powerful lessons presented to us in God's Word, primarily the great seriousness and the great necessity of serving God according to God's instructions. And not the instructions that you and I dream up in our own imagination. And not the instructions that some that we regard as a religious council or religious leaders or religious body somewhere in this world come up with from their own imagination. God has blessed us with a written form of His will so that anyone can open it and read His instructions. And with the determination to follow them, we can show God reverence. If you're visiting with us today, we would challenge you to remember this lesson from God's Word and compare what you have heard to the Word of God. And if you see something that we're doing or something that we're saying that's not found in the Word of God, bring it to our attention before we become guilty before God of showing God irreverence. We want you to challenge us on that, and we promise that we'll make it right. It's got to be according to God's Word. You may not have heard a lesson like this before, but you'll remember this lesson as you continue on, I think, if you've listened and noticed in your Bible and considered the seriousness of it, that this lesson came directly from God's holy Word. And that it was designed to instruct all of us in the ways of God, that you and I might walk in those ways. As you remember this day, think about Uzzah's example. Probably a decent guy. He had to have some righteous characteristics about him, don't you think? He was selected to be very close to the ark in moving it into a place that David had prepared to recognize it and to keep it sacred and to keep it holy. He had to be somebody special. Somebody recognized for his devotion to God already. He's probably a decent person. And probably a person that meant well. But for whatever reason, maybe a little bit of peer pressure, maybe a little bit of pride, maybe just a little bit of ignorance according to what God had said. But for whatever reason, Uzzah disobeyed God. And God took that as showing irreverence and punished him on the spot. Do not rely on what we say. Do not rely on what your parents did. Do not rely on what your neighbors are doing in their religious services and calling it worship and service to God. Instead, we would encourage you to read the Bible for yourself. You're capable of understanding what God has written in His Word. And if we can help, we'd love to help. But by all means, we would hope that you would read carefully the gospel of Jesus Christ and that you would obey it in order that you might become a Christian and enjoy the forgiveness of your sins and the hope of heaven after this very short life is over. He is the source of eternal salvation to all those that obey him. Hebrews 5 and verse 9. If we can help you obey him today, we can help you put on Christ, and we can keep you encouraged to walk in Christ in your daily travels, because this life will be over before you know it. Before smoke disappears, before the steam in the air disappears, life will be over, and we'll face God in judgment. Wouldn't it be great to hear him say, "Come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world, because you showed me reverence." Wouldn't that be great? We can help you in any way to walk closer to God today. When you leave this building, closer than when you walked in, we'd be delighted to do it. Can we baptize you into Christ? Can we pray with you and for you to be stronger, Christian? Can we go to our God in prayer and pray that he'll forgive you of public sins that you might have committed? Whatever your need today. If we can help you, please respond to the Lord's invitation. Come to the front and tell me about it, while together we encourage you as we stand and sing. Number 325. May God bless you.